Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
But right here, let's let KT get us back into the David Cantor podcast. This is the agent of DeMarcus Lawrence, and he was kind of detailing how the deal almost fell through.
Yeah, he's on this sports business podcast with Andrew Brandt. Andrew Brandt used to be in the Packers organization. He's given credit for a lot of contract and structural terms. He helped create the franchise tag, for instance.
I mean, incredible.
He's got a big history. And I've known about his podcast because I've seen him have some guests on there. Kind of interesting. But this was probably the most interesting thing I've ever seen in terms of an agent coming and just spilling the guts on, here's how it all went down. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with the cut that we played earlier before we get into how the deal nearly blew up. And this is David Cantor, DeMarcus Lawrence's agent, talking about how he and Stephen Jones got into it at the Combine.
When we got to the Combine in March, and I had a very contentious face-to-face with Stephen Jones out socially one night, where we've known each other so long that I think we can MF each other and still be friends. Uh-huh. And we did. We were both out socially. You know, I had a glass of wine in my hand. I think he had a glass of Johnny Walker Blue in his. And it got real, real nasty real quick.
How? In what way nasty?
Just over the value of the player. You know, hey, we're not going to pay him $20 million a year. He's not worth it. He's not Von Miller. He's not Khalil Mack. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not getting $20 million a year. And my answer was, you're right. He's getting $20.571 million a year because he's going to get a second franchise tag. And so then it was like, well, then let him come in and sign it, and he'll just play under the tag. And I was like, well, no. We're not doing what we did last year this year.
Okay, that sets the groundwork.
Yeah.
For what's really going to get ugly.
So this is Cantor describing, so 2 months later, and you're now into April, and we're trying to get this deal hammered out. And this is where he talked about how it really, really got nasty between the two sides.
When they didn't change their money and they looked at our proposal, and our proposal was in the 6-year structure at 22 a year with 80 in guarantees, it got nasty on a phone call. And I said to DeMarcus before the owners' meetings, I said, two things are going to happen here. Either you're going to get traded at the owners' meetings, doesn't mean that the trade will actually happen until the draft, but they're going to be discussing it.
Right.
Or we're going to probably end up having to play this thing out. You'll miss April, May, June, July. We won't get a deal done by July 15th. Training camp will open in July. You'll be at home or training wherever you're going to be. And on the Saturday prior to the regular season opening, you'll go in and sign your contract. You know, maybe you'll be on PUP for the first month of the season because you won't have had a whole training camp. Maybe you won't. And if you miss some time, you miss some time. You know, they have their rules, we have our rules, and we're gonna use them to our advantage. And so DeMarcus was totally on board with it. And then we would have the surgery in January of next year. Oh. You know, he played on the shoulder all last year, so it's not like the surgery. People made the surgery bigger than it is. He needs it because the Cowboys want him to have it, but he didn't need it to play football.
If he didn't do the deal, would he be getting the surgery?
He would not get the surgery until after the season.
Interesting. So he was going to end up being like, just physically unable to perform while he gets into shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to play just like he did last year. Just,
yeah,
you know, compromised. And the thing about that I think about too, Ben, is this whole idea of, well, it kind of knocked his performance down a little bit when the injury got worse as the year went on. He was still really, really good. But then how does that impact what his value would be going out into the open market 1 year later?
Then we get to the point of, we know that on Thursday they have the situation where basically the phone call's coming in, okay? We talked about it in their contract negotiations, how they had found a way to get in touch. And I think when we had Steven on last week, he made it sound like Cantor reached out to them. Cantor kind of makes it sound like, yeah, we did reach out to them, but there was a lot going on. It wasn't as simple as, hey, let's get three guys on the line. Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on, and Steven was being very hard to reach. And he describes the phone call when we're negotiating this thing on Thursday, last Thursday, and how everything gets straight to the point.
It was as blunt and open a dialogue I've ever had between an ownership and a player. It was, listen, here's what we think of you, DeMarcus. Here's what we don't think of you. Here's what we will do in our contract, and here's what we won't do. And if what we won't do doesn't get it done, we get it. We're okay with it. We can deal with it. We'll deal with the repercussions. But we want you here. We love you. We believe in you. We support you, and we would like to make you a Cowboy for 5 or 6 or 7 more years if you want that. And then DeMarcus was unbelievable in the call. He was open. He was honest. He was passionate, as he always is. And he said his piece, and then I said my piece. And I hung up the phone call with the understanding that we would come off our 6-year proposal, and we would put a proposal together more in line with where the Cowboys wanted to be on a 5-year deal. And the Cowboys went from 19 to 20, the first time they've been at $20 million a year. And very quickly that night, after exchanging, I think, 3 proposals around 10 o'clock at night, I knew that we were going to get a deal done.
Wow.
Okay.
So, you know, what's interesting to me, too, about all that is the way the news was reported. Because remember, it was Friday afternoon.
It was 1 o'clock Friday.
Yeah, mid-morning Friday, all the beats were saying there is no progress on a deal.
Which in the podcast, I didn't cut it, he mentions, and he's calling out local reporters. He said their only job was to sit around and say things that they heard offhand in the building. He goes, they didn't know what was going on.
Wow.
Is what he said.
Wow.
And he was like, there were some people saying that Cantor, our relationship's fractured. And that I don't know what he got real butthurt about it. He goes, and I don't know what I'm doing. He was like, I'm the guy who created the $17 million pass rusher. I'm the one who did that. And he was like trying to be proud about that, but he's calling out all the local reporters. So he says that on Thursday night, no doubt they're going to get a deal done. That ain't how it went down, though. We get to Friday. Now, he is gone on Friday. He is at his mother-in-law's birthday party. Oh. He said there's 15 screaming kids running around. And he's now playing phone tag with Stephen Jones because they're trying to tidy up a few details. And then DeMarcus Lawrence gets tied into this. This is the most insane clip, and this is how the deal nearly blew up.
I got to have 50 over the first two, and I got to have 66 over the first three. And he goes, I don't know that I can get – he goes, you know what? He goes, I'll send you something in an hour. And at 3:30 or 3:45 on Friday, they sent me something that went backwards.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh.
3:45. The deal went down at 5:45.
Okay. Wow.
So at 3:45, Steven sent him things and took the money down. I'm talking about the guaranteed money over the first few years. Because that was one thing that I think he had talked to DeMarcus about, was like, look, we're going to get you the most guaranteed money in 1 year, you know,
right,
than that's ever been done in the league. $31 million in that first year. So that's you can pick it up from there, Shippy.
At 3:30 or 3:45 on Friday, they sent me something that went backwards. It was $4 or $5 million, yes, less in real money, and it was all earnables and per-game rosters. I called DeMarcus, and I said, man, I don't know, bro. I said, I'm sorry. I know I got you excited. I thought we were going to get this thing done. This is really bad. And he got pissed. Man, then don't be calling me and telling me that we're close when we're not close. And we're going to go backwards. And I hung up the phone, and my instinct was, we're done. Screw the Cowboys. I'm done. I'm not calling them back. I'm not texting them. This is a bunch of nonsense. They should never have done this. And thank God I didn't listen to myself. I instantaneously text messaged Stephen Jones with, and this is what I wrote. I said, are we really going to let this happen? We're so close. Please call me. Let's talk this out. And then he didn't respond to my text. And about 7 minutes later, and I called Stephen on his personal cell phone, and he didn't answer. 4 minutes later, he called me back. And as soon as he called me back, I said, I'm not going to acknowledge your most recent proposal. Hey, you wanted 50, you wanted 66, we gave them to you. You got them. You just got to earn them. I said, Steven, we're not going to play that game. Get me to 50, get me to 66. And in Steven's full credit, he goes, I won't get you to either number, but I'll get you as close as I can. How about 48 to 65? And I go, I think that'll get it done.
Oh my God.
It is so, to me, this never had to get this way. Like the deal was pretty easy from the beginning when you look at it. Tank, $20 million a year, right around there, the guaranteed money figured out. It did not have to get as wild as this. and it got ugly many times.
I think Steven just loves this crap.
I think he's good at it, too.
Yeah. I think he's really good at it. And I love how cold-blooded it is. It's not the old-school way of, hey, we show favoritism. We're going to be sentimental about this. This guy's one of our favorites or whatever. It's not about that. It's like hardcore business. And, hey, this is what we're comfortable doing. This is what we're not. We love you. If this sounds like something you can do, great. If not, hey, we totally get it. It's not what you're looking for. I love that.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Real quick Masters update. So Tiger was just hitting a ball kind of in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the crowd was walking, one guy comes flying through. It's kind of a Happy Gilmore moment here. One guy comes flying through the gallery and hits Tiger on the ankle.
A guy?
Yeah.
Like hit him with his foot?
A guy kind of fell down and Tiger tripped on him sort of. And kind of rolled his ankle. And Tiger was limping.
He was jump limping.
Wait, the guy tackled him? Was the guy lose his balance? What was it?
Can you go back?
I don't know. Let's see if we have DVR. I
thought you're not allowed to run there.
Yeah, you are. You're not allowed to run.
What if Tiger just got thrown out for the speed with which he was jumping on one ankle?
He's walking fine now, though. Now that I look at it. Tiger's three back of the lead. Your leaders, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott from Step Brothers, and Parks and Rec and Party Down. And Jason Day.
I love that Phil and Tiger are tied.